Okay, well, we'll come to the service this morning, which is, as you will find out as we proceed, a little bit unusual. It's not the normal kind of thing we'll do on a Sunday morning, but it is great to have the opportunity to do what we're going to do this morning. First of all, we're going to have a time of dedication for Tom and Natalie's children, Sophie and Sam. Now, usually, boys and girls, when we have dedications, they're little babies, aren't they? And I pick them up and show them to you. Not going to do that. But exactly the same's going to happen, apart from the show and tell bit, okay? Also, we're going to be hearing from both Tom and Natalie as to how God has helped them reach this point of being able to dedicate their children together. This has been a long and difficult journey for Tom and Natalie, but today it's the fruit of many years of prayer and God's grace. Well, let's pray together. Lord, as we've sung that song, we are reminded of your majesty and of our sinfulness and of our need of your grace and forgiveness. And we thank you that all these are found in the Lord Jesus, who is full of majesty and mercy, who is full of grace and kindness, and shed his precious blood that we might be forgiven. Pray today, Lord, that in all that we do in this service, that your name might be honored, and that we might realize afresh or for the very first time what the gospel really is. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, if I can ask Tom and Natalie and Sophie and Samuel, come and join me up here. Great. You're very smart in that red tie. He had threatened to wear his Sheffield United shirt. But we're not mentioning teams that lost 3-1 yesterday. Because there's a few of them. Okay, laying the important things aside. We've got a dedication and a thanksgiving. So often what happens at these services is that the people misunderstand exactly what's taking place. They think in terms of christening, and this is certainly not a christening. We can't make Sam and Sophie Christians. That will be their choice and their desire as they grow older. This is not superstition as well. Something ought to be done to cover alls, just in case. Nor is this just tradition, better have our children done kind of thing. But what this is part of Tom and Natalie's Christian life. They want to publicly give thanks to God for his good gift of Sophie and Sam. And they want to dedicate themselves to bringing their children up in God's way. So we're going to do three things this morning. First of all, we'll give thanks to God for Sophie and Sam. Then secondly, Tom and Natalie will make promises to God and before this congregation to bring Sophie and Sam up in God's way. And the promises take in the whole of Sophie and Sam's well-being, their physical, spiritual, and emotional needs. And then we'll ask God to bless Sophie and Sam with his richest blessing. So, let's put you two together and I'll give you...
Did that wrong?
Okay. Well, let's give thanks to God. The scripture says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." So, Tom and Natalie, do you acknowledge before this congregation that Sophie and Sam are a gift to you from God? And do you give thanks to him who has given you this good gift of life?
Yes,
we do. Psalm 136 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, his love endures forever. Give thanks to him who gives food to every creature, his love endures forever." Tom and Natalie, will you show your thanksgiving, not just by your words this morning, but also by making every effort to see that Sophie and Sam are well looked after and properly provided for while they are living under your roof?
Yes, God's help.
Great. And in the scriptures, we read about God's concern for children. And in the New Testament, it's recorded that people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, that anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Again, Tom and Natalie, do you promise before God in this congregation that you will never hinder Sophie and Sam from coming to Jesus? And will you by your words tell them of the love of Jesus and of his saving gospel? And will you by your lifestyle show them how God's people ought to live?
With God's help, we will.
Amen. Now, God clearly tells us that he has a desired way for bringing up children. Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." That scripture tells us that God is to be at every part of our lives. So, Tom and Natalie, will you try to include God in every area of your family life so that Sophie and Sam see your faith to be real and not just for Sunday? Will you persistently pray for them, regularly read the Bible to them, and bring them with you to worship?
With God's help, we will.
Right. Now, Tom, the Apostle Paul, wrote some challenging words to fathers. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." This is going to be impossible, isn't it?
Tom.
"Fathers, do not..." I do beg your pardon. Brilliant. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Tom, will you try not to exasperate Sophie and Sam?
I will try.
But instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, teaching them what true masculinity is.
Oh, well.
Yeah, good. It is a serious thing, that. I just thought of Tom not exasperating people. good. Likewise, Natalie, the Apostle Paul wrote that mothers are to be gentle as they care for their little children. Natalie, will you try to be gentle as you care for Sophie and Sam? And will you teach them what true femininity is?
God's help, I'll try.
Yeah.
I will. I'll try.
Well, may the Lord our God help you to fulfill these promises that you have made. Now, I know that your family, many of your family are here and friends are here, and I know that they've been praying for you as well throughout the life of Sophie and Sam. And they've been praying for you a lot. And members of this congregation also have been praying for you as a family. And it's a good opportunity now just to think, will you continue those prayers for Tom and Natalie and for Sophie and Sam? We're not going to ask you to show your commitment by standing or anything like that. But maybe in your heart, you'll just make a promise before God that this is what you'll do for them. As often as you remember them, you will pray for them. Boys and girls, this is the part where I usually pick them up and do somersaults with them and the wheelie things. But not this time. Okay. But you know Sophie and Sam, aren't you? Because they're in your SOS and they're at your junior church as well. So it's a really special moment for them today. And we're going to ask that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you of his peace forever. Tom and Natalie, seeing as we've just asked God to bless Sophie and Sam, will you honor that prayer and also seek to be a blessing to them physically, emotionally, and spiritually?
God's help.
Amen. Good. Okay, well, you can sit down now and we'll carry on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Tom and Natalie and Sophie and Sam for bringing them to this point this morning, and we pray that you would help them as they have made those promises and will seek to keep them by your power and grace. And may this family, which is a trophy of grace, be to you much pleasure and bring to us much joy. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God's word is living and active, and it speaks to us in every situation. And Ellen and Paolo are going to come and read to us from Psalm 130 now.
If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be Bibles on the ends of the rows, and I think it's page 624 if you wanted to follow it. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you.
I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Both Tom and Natalie are going to give their testimonies this morning. A testimony is an account of how God has helped you. And both Tom and Natalie have known God's help in their lives in different ways, and in particular over these past few years. And what they have to share will not be easy for either of them. But it's a real journey of God's grace and God's mercy. So I'm going to pray for Tom before he shares his testimony. Heavenly Father, thank you for our brother Tom. And we pray, Lord, that as he shares with us now his journey of faith, that you would really help him. And may our hearts be open to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Thank you for all coming, by the way, so thank you. Okay. Only family and a few friends know Natalie and my stories. Mine is one which I've never shared in public, but feel it is right to do so, to show her how God has worked in my life and the grace and mercy that he has shown me over the years. Some may be surprised, some may be saddened, and others may look upon me with judgment. After many years, I realised that I was doing wrong, what I was doing was wrong, and I needed help, but ultimately God's forgiveness. Like many people, I have lived with shame and guilt and led a secret life that became very destructive, not just to me, but to my family also. During my late teens, I started a journey that led me to an addiction to pornography. I took this into my marriage, thinking that all my problems would disappear, but they didn't. I continued with my familiar secret life. It became my comfort blanket. I kept it hidden from family, friends, and Natalie. I felt shame, embarrassment, and guilt. Unfortunately, I didn't do anything about it, neither seeking help or crying out to God. While staying away with work, things developed and my addiction led me into having several affairs. I began to spin many webs of lies, being deceitful and only caring about myself. This broke our marriage and family apart. Natalie was heartbroken, as you can imagine. Many of my friends turned their backs on me and I on them, mainly because they just didn't know what to say to me anymore. Several tried to help and pleaded with me to stop what I was doing and concentrate on fixing my marriage. I was blinded by the destruction that was being caused and only wanted to pursue my selfish ways. Natalie tried hard to get me to open my eyes to the situation around us, but I just wasn't listening. I was asked to leave the church that I had attended for over 10 years. We separated, sold our beautiful home, and Natalie moved back up here from Hastings. For a year and a half, I would pick up Sophie for the weekend, and I love those weekends. And they became the highlight of my month. But deep down, I was really hurting, as I knew that I was missing out on so much of Sophie's early life, which I regret to this day. During that time, I didn't really take much notice of my finances. It was really important to me that I supported Natalie and Sophie financially, but I was also spending way beyond my means, and debt soon added up. Pastor Paul and Phil came down to Hastings one afternoon, and the three of us had a very frank and honest discussion. I had never wanted my marriage to end, and I was desperate to have it back. Both Paul and Phil said, if I truly wanted my marriage back, then there were a number of things I needed to do. But there were no guarantees that Natalie would take me back. After they had gone, I just felt horrible as to what I had done, and knew that God was giving me an opportunity to turn back to him and look to rebuild a broken marriage. Natalie and I had counselling together, and at this point, even though I had listened to all that had been said to me, I still believed I could change alone. We had moved back in together. The trouble was, I was trying to do it on my own. I needed God, and at this point my heart was not changed, and it was not long before my addiction took hold once more. Although I was saying one thing, I was still living a secret life. When Natalie was 3 months pregnant with Samuel, she discovered that I had been unfaithful again. Once again, our marriage hit crisis point. My whole world was stripped bare. My father was diagnosed with bowel cancer. I was then made redundant from work, and my marriage had no hope. And I remember driving from my parents' home back to Epsom and just crying out to God. I was in a totally broken state. And at that moment, I was expecting to be getting divorced, lose my dad and my job. I faced a crossroads in my life whereby I either carry on down this path of destruction or I finally did something about my situation. I had not seen myself as having an addiction, but suddenly it became clear to me that this is what it was. Through my aunt and uncle, I was put in touch with a Christian organisation called The Living Room, a professional organisation which helps people that are fighting all kinds of addictions. I then started on a journey to tackle my addiction head on. This was not an easy option, but I knew it was what I needed to do to have any possible chance of rebuilding any of our marriage. Deep wounds have been created to both of us. God heard my cry for help. I said sorry to God for rejecting him and living my life my way, doing what I wanted without any thought for him. Over this time, even though I was broken, I felt the most incredible joy. I had never felt so close to God in my life, and on that journey in the car, I put my complete faith and trust in God and simply asked that whatever happens between Natalie and I, that he would never leave me and help me on this pathway that I had now chosen. I had a real hunger for God that was new to me. I even started to listen to Premier Christian Radio, which I still do. And every day I used verses in the Bible to give me strength and to help me each day. For the first time in my life, I started to do a daily Bible study. I read the daily explore notes and have found them to be helpful to me to understand the Bible better, helping me apply it to my everyday life. God certainly has poured out his grace on my life, even though I am so undeserving. As for Natalie and I, we have had professional counselling, but more importantly, turn to God to help us both restore us and our marriage. This journey still continues for us both, but we know that God is there with us each step of the way. Natalie and I are working hard to restore this broken marriage. It's not easy, as there is still so much hurt from these times. But the main difference is that now we are putting God at the centre, and God is helping us through this because we have handed it over to him. It is a journey that we are taking together, with God now leading us. I know that if I hadn't cried out to God on that day, then our marriage would not exist. We wouldn't be here celebrating both Sophie and Samuel's dedication. And I'm so thankful to God that he has showed me forgiveness and love despite not deserving it. Both Natalie and my prayer is that through this journey, that God may continue to restore our marriage each day and that we may be used to help others going through similar struggles. I'd just like to thank a few people, my parents and family. For the support and love that they continue to show me through some very difficult times. Natalie's parents, that they were humble and forgiving towards me, still showing me kindness in ways I couldn't imagine. To Phil and Louise, who weren't afraid to kick me up the backside on many occasions and giving me support and friendship. This has meant so much to me. To Paul, for encouraging me and giving me an ear to overuse, as well as having our own book club for a while. I would also like to apologise for all the lies and deceit and hurt that I've caused. I don't deserve the love and support that has been given to me, so thank you. Finally, Natalie. I am so very sorry for what I've put you through. You have every right to leave me, but you haven't. The strength, courage, and forgiveness that you have demonstrated within you is truly amazing. I love you so much, and pray that God would continue to work within our marriage. So one of the songs that I have chosen was the one that we just sang, which is Voice of Hope by Lyra Martin. And this was one of several songs which gave me strength and lifted me in some very dark, dark times. It reminded me that God is so loving and always there with us in any situation. So thank you.
Well, the song that Tim and Bethany have just sung is called Gracious, and Tom chose that because the words were obvious. Natalie's going to give her testimony from another perspective, and again, it's going to be difficult for Natalie to share, so we'll pray for her as she does this. Pray. Heavenly Father, help Natalie as she now shares with us what you have done in her and through her. Make her strong in herself, in you, we pray. May she know your words as she shares with us now. Thank you for the journey that you've brought her through. And thank you that today, by your grace alone, she is able to get up here and tell us her story. We pray that you would help her. In Jesus' name, amen.
As many of you know, public speaking isn't really my thing. But I'd like to share with you the journey that I've taken over the past 10 years. Don't worry, I won't be here for 10 years. Hopefully this testimony will show how God has sustained and helped me through some very difficult and dark days. Prior to 2005, it had been a hard few years due to two ectopic pregnancies, becoming pregnant before I had Sophie. I was reminded very powerfully that God can do all things. Strangely, this was when I was on a plane to Mexico, when I did have 11 hours. I remember looking out of the window, wondering if I would ever have a child or children, and God clearly speaking to me, and the verses from some Bible verses that were dear to me came alive in me. As I looked out of the window at the shape of the earth with all the God's creation beneath me, it was as if I was seeing it for the first time. I began to reflect on my favourite verses, Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, and the rest of the chapter came clearly to me, resounding in my thoughts. The last part of that chapter speaks about not worrying about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And yet another verse, Psalm 139:13, for you created me in my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. And then lastly, Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future. Immediately I felt at peace inside that God was in control of this situation and no matter what was ahead. Weeks later, I found out that I was pregnant. With every pregnancy, I have to have my HCG blood levels monitored at the start of a pregnancy, and these were always nerve-wracking hours waiting for the phone to ring with results. This time it was different. It was good news. The HCG was doubling and Sophie was on her way. During my pregnancy, towards the later stages, I started to feel something wasn't right between Tom and I. One night when Tom was away with work, I had a dream that Tom was having an affair. When he returned home, I told him about the dream. He didn't say much, and I hadn't actually noticed that he was not able to look at me when I told him about this dream. A few weeks later, my world seemed to fall apart around me as I came to understand that this was actually a reality. Tom and I separated, and Tom moved back to his parents. God gave me strength beyond my understanding to get through the sleepless nights and the trials of being a single parent. He assured me in the day that he was there, and at night that he never sleeps. I talked to God day and night, mostly asking him to sustain me, change me, protect me from being angry, bitter, and feeling alone. I remember someone at the church I went to at the time praying with me, and they asked me what I wanted most of all, and I replied, for God to heal my broken heart. I had counselling with a wonderful lady there as well, who taught me so much and became a really good friend. I had the love and support of family, friends, and I felt so loved. After coming to terms with how things were, I had to face the difficult decision to sell our house and return to Surrey, which was home for me as a single mum. As much as I had really good friends in Hastings, I missed my friends and family and church family here at Hook, and I knew being closer to my family would help me in my healing. Sophie was 13 months, and we moved to a lovely flat in Epsom. Tom had Sophie to stay at weekends and continued to be a great father to her. People always remarked how Tom and I managed things so amicably. I can only say that this was not in my strength. I can't even mention what at times I felt like doing or imagined doing, including a new condition of Tourette's that I seemed to develop each time I was lied to or found something out. However, month by month, God did sustain me. He taught me so much about myself. I had to let God take over and help. When Sophie was 2 years old, we decided to try and work out our marriage. Due to living separate lives, running two properties, we had debt which we consolidated, and we lost all of the equity that I'd invested in the flat because of a dip in the housing market. Eventually, God brought us through that and we moved out, and God provided us a house. After some time of counselling, we decided to try for another baby. I then went on to have two miscarriages, which led me to believe that I should count my blessings. I had a beautiful daughter and we were a family again. However, God had other plans, and along came Samuel. When I was 3 months pregnant with Samuel, I uncovered more unfaithfulness from Tom, and felt as if someone had reached inside and torn my heart in two. The devastation and the heartbreak had struck again. Once again, I felt so alone, this time with two children, and believed that this was the end for Tom and I. How could I possibly forgive again How could we possibly move forward again? At the time, I was given a sense of calmness and hope that God had fulfilled all promises before and he would again. My relationship with God deepened as I experienced his never-ending love and comfort. Although I faced an uncertain future, I knew it wouldn't be alone. In 2011, Samuel was born. Tom and I remained separated but living under the same roof. During this time, I felt sure that our marriage was over. There was too much hurt to overcome. Yet again, God had other plans. Tom sought professional therapy to help him overcome his addiction to love and sex. He went to stay at a place called The Living Room, which helped people overcome addictions of all kinds. The difference this time is that Tom had reached a crossroads and genuinely wanted to overcome what had taken hold and because of a secret life he'd had since his teens. As sceptical as I was by now as to whether someone could come back from this, I began to support Tom in this journey, but still at a distance to protect myself and the children. At first, I did not agree at all to rebuild our marriage, as I needed Tom to earn back my trust and demonstrate that he really had changed his pathway. With support from Pastor Paul and others in the church to facilitate some decision-making as to where all this was leading, I eventually agreed to do joint therapy counselling at Tom's request with a professional Christian organisation. This took place over a course of a year and a half, where we both taught strategies to overcoming all that we'd been through and a helping hand to focus on the future with our unfaithfulness and a changed way of living. So here I am today. I'm still with scars, but scars that have gradually, over time, become less visible. I've come on an incredible journey, teaching me that in all of this, I was in need of God's love, grace, and forgiveness as well. Sin is a strange thing which we as humans rate in different categories, unfaithfulness being one of the worst. Some view it as unforgivable, but God has taught me my need for him and that I am far from perfect. And in his eyes, Tom and I are equally deserving of his grace. All of this I've shared to show you how I had to let God take over, as to do things my way and my strength would have failed, I'm certain of. By trusting in God, we have overcome what I and many others think is too much to overcome. Managing to clear our debt, restore a broken marriage and damaged marriage, growing together again as a couple. I have to be honest and say that even as a Christian, there have been times where I've wondered why this has all happened to me and asked God where he is in it. However, he's never failed to demonstrate that he is by my side and he has never left me. A poem called Footprints in the Sand by Mary Stevenson was given to me in a frame, became a daily reminder to me that I had been carried all the way through these years. I'd like to read it to you. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Although I would not want these circumstances for anyone, I have been able to help others going through similar situations, and I pray that God would use me and Tom in our future to be able to help others in this way. Lastly, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank those who've stood by me and us on this journey. My friends, my neighbours, my family, my work colleagues, my church family, all have helped in so many ways, from meals, staying with me in the early days when Sophie was born, helping me move to the flat in Hastings, financial help, practical help with the children, even fixing my toilet when it was broken. Work colleagues who helped me through my working day, for Tom's family who supported and stood by me, for Pastor Paul and Rosie, who were affectionately known by me for, as Mummy and Daddy Pig, but don't ask how it got that to that. for their support, which has been above and beyond, such in difficult days and hours they've been at the end of the phone. Lastly, my parents, who have walked this journey very closely with me. Us. They've helped me practically, listened to me crying a lot, advised me, helped me with the children, respected my decisions, advised me, and over time they've forgiven Tom and God's help, despite having their own battles with illness. You have all been God's provision in his plan to sustain me, and I'm so thankful beyond words that he has provided us with two amazing children and is constantly restoring our marriage daily. I've learned over this time that where humans think something is impossible, that there's nothing impossible for God. I've seen such a change in Tom since he gave his life over to God in his lifestyle changes. I'd like to end this Oscar speech with a quote from one of my many favourite Christian songs. You give rest to the weary, you bring strength to the weak. As they wait in your presence, there's grace for their need. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I will say of the Lord, he is my strength. I will say of the Lord, he is my shelter, my hiding place. I will draw from the one that won't grow tired, the Lord of all. Thank you for listening.
Ask Tom and Natalie to join me up here now, please. We're going to have receive you into church membership. We thought a lot about what we're going to put into this service, but I didn't really think what I'm going to do now. usually we receive people into church membership at the times of the Lord's Supper and Week of the Right Hand of Christian Fellowship, but that does seem rather inappropriate, so I give you the left hug. A left hug of Christian Fellowship. And it's great that you're coming into the membership of the church. 4.5 years ago, we announced you'd be coming church members. We now know something of the story why that wasn't possible after we announced that. But now it is. And what we've heard this morning is a celebration of God's power and of God's grace, of Christian love, of patience, and of repentance, and of forgiveness. And the church is made up of broken people. And God uses broken people. And we're really glad to have you as part of our family here at Hook Evangelical Church. May we be to you all that you need us to be. And may you be to us a real blessing as well. Amen. Phil and Louise are going to come and pray for you. Stay up here.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we stand here today looking to the future. We bring the Hope Gill family before you and give thanks for them that despite all past circumstances, they come today bringing their family before us and you. We pray for them all and we thank you for Tom and Natalie's desire to get us dedicate themselves to raising Sophie and Samuel in the way you have commanded. We pray for Sophie and Sam. We thank you for their beautiful characters and ask that you would bless them now and in the years ahead as they grow up. We pray for Sophie that you would help her as she grows in her faith and understanding of you. I ask that you'll be very real to her, that she will understand what it means to know and love you, that you would help her to live out what she believes amongst her family and friends. And we pray that in times of trial, she would turn to you and that Tom and Natalie would know great wisdom as they raise their beautiful girl. Help them to be patient and understanding, slow to anger and quick to love. As they deal with any difficult teenage years, help them to have a listening ear and to be wise in their counsel. May Sophie's relationship with Tom and Natalie always be positive. And I pray that you will help Tom and Nat to continue to create a loving, warm, open family environment that places you at the centre. We pray for Sophie that she will truly know and love you and follow you all the days of her life. Amen. Amen.
Father God, I just want to praise and thank you for this morning, Lord, because it's such a reminder of just how powerful your grace is. Lord, so often we fall into a myth that the church is about perfect people who have been good enough to be your people. But Lord, we're all train wrecks in different ways. Like in the parable of the prodigal son, Lord, we often look on the prodigal son and tut at his sin, yet ignore the deep, deep sin of the elder brother. And Lord, this morning I pray that you'd help us to see all of that in ourselves. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for Tom and Nat, Lord, because they are both trophies of your grace, of what you have done in their lives. And Lord, I thank you for that this morning. Lord, I pray for little Samuel. We thank you for his beautiful character, for his cheerfulness, for the love that he has for all and everyone. And Lord, I pray for him today. I pray that he too, like Sophie, would be a trophy of your grace. That through the amazing family that you've created, Tom and Nat, that you would bless him. That he would learn to love you as his saviour and follow you. And because of the witness of his parents and the humbleness and the brokenness of his parents, that he would grow up with a deep love for you. Please help him to understand what it means to be a Christian man and to be loving and gracious and to follow you all of his days. Help him in those difficult moments, in the temptations and trials in his life ahead, and please bless him and may he know and love you and have a family of his own. And Lord, this morning, finally, I just pray for Tom and Nat, for Samuel and Sophie and their family. Lord, you have done so much in their lives, and they have been such a witness to us and so humbling to us all this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless them and strengthen them, that Tom and Nat would know your blessing in their marriage, that you would be at the centre of them in every respect, and you would continue to do miracles in their lives, and that you would strengthen their marriage, make them stronger and stronger, and give them such wisdom and blessing and encouragement as parents. Lord, I thank you once again. You are amazing in all that you do, and we thank you for your salvation. Please bless this beautiful little family and help us, Lord, to encourage them and support them as we go forward together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, before we sing the song that Natalie has chosen to close our service, let me just draw a few threads together from what we've heard this morning, focusing in particular on that verse that's on the screen there. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. And there's the thought, God daily bears our burdens. I wonder what your thoughts are right now after you've heard the testimonies of Tom and Natalie. All kinds of thoughts can be buzzing through your mind, even at this very moment. You've heard about Tom, his guilt, his sin, shame of his secret life, the unfaithfulness, the affairs, the addiction to pornography, the lies and the deceit, and the destructive pattern of life that he was on. And you've heard from Natalie about the deep wounds and the scars that there are, the broken heart, the life torn apart, the hurt beyond measure, and the devastation that was experienced. And you've heard that their marriage was just about over. There was separation, and they were at the end. It's difficult for Tom and Natalie to tell us those things. And it was difficult for us to hear those things as well. But that's not all that we've heard this morning. We've also heard of Tom's confession, of his repentance, and of his brokenness. We've heard of Natalie's grace and forgiveness and acceptance. We've heard of a marriage being restored and that is continually being healed. We've heard about them growing together, and we've heard about their plans, even for God to use them in the future. So I wonder what your thoughts are after all those things that you've heard. Hopefully you've been moved and your heart's been touched. If not, you are very hard-hearted. Maybe you've been shocked, unsettled, confused, upset. Maybe you've been disgusted or outraged or offended. Maybe you're a little incredulous and doubtful and sceptical about all this. Or maybe you're amazed and you marvel at God's grace and power. I trust that each one of us is thankful this morning that a marriage has been saved. That Tom and Natalie are together, and they're together as parents of Sophie and Sam. But there's one big question, surely, that we've got to ask that's on my mind, and hopefully it's been on your mind as well. One big question: what brings them to this point where they can get up before almost 200 people and say the things that they've said? What brings them to the point where they can confess and acknowledge what's happened? And how come, not just that they can do that here this morning, but what's happened to bring them to that point of doing that? See, it all kicked off in the summer of 2007 when their worlds blew apart. 8 years later, we're here, then Tom and Natalie are together, and they are determined to serve God together. I would really want us to grasp the significance of what's happened. That major turnaround over 8 years, it is absolutely huge. And the plan, when we planned this service with Tom and Natalie, we spoke about membership, we spoke about dedication, we spoke about renewal and new start being proclaimed. We spoke about the songs, the readings. We spoke about the prayers. We spoke about everything that would take place. And we realized this would be a pretty long service. And then Tom, in his extreme enthusiasm, says, "Can I also get baptized again?" So that wouldn't be necessary. But how come they're at this point where they can confess this and own up to this, and that they are together after the horrible things that have happened and the hurt that's taken place? If you think what could have been, Tom could have continued down that broad road of destruction and ended up on the rubbish heap of life, where at the end of the life he could say, "I've got nothing but regrets." Natalie could have been living as an emotional wreck right now, with her soul eaten up with sadness, hopelessness, anger, resentment, bitterness, and hatred. And she could have been set on a course to destroy Tom. But devastation and destruction has not happened. They're together. Hallelujah. They're together. How come then that Tom has come to his senses? Which is a major thing. From the fact that he's done what he's done, but confessed it, and has now got a new life. How come Natalie has been able to forgive Tom again and again? How come she's been able to show him the grace to take him back and not the revenge to get her own back? How come she's taken him back into her life, her family, and that there's deep love growing deeper between them? How come that even with the deep regrets and the deep scars, they can now do these things today? What's led up to this point? Well, you've heard their testimonies, and you've heard of the reality and the presence and the active help of God himself. For in their testimonies, both Natalie and Tom have told you that they couldn't do this by themselves. It wasn't some kind of superhuman power that's brought them to this place. You've heard them say how they've needed God's help. For Tom, Through all this, a relationship with God began. He's even started listening to Premier Radio, which has its good points. He cried out to God. He reached that crossroads, and God showed him grace, forgiveness. And Thomas received grace and forgiveness, both human and divine. For Natalie, her relationship with God didn't begin during this journey as Tom's did. Natalie's relationship with God deepened. She has known his love, his support, his assurance. She has known the way that he has carried her. And therefore, Natalie is able to show grace and give forgiveness. God is able to help us in our time of need. Psalm 68:19. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. Daily bearing our burdens. I wonder if you think of God in this way. Some people think of God as distant and remote and uninterested, or they think of him as a monster or an ogre, as cruel. Some think of God as just a stern, demanding father who's actually only interested in our exam results. Some think of God as unknowable and uncaring and as so distant as he cannot possibly help. What's your view of God? The scriptures tell us clearly that God is a saviour who daily bears our burdens. And he's shown this in particular in the Lord Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. Jesus is God made human. From eternity past, Jesus has existed in majesty and glory. And there came a time when he laid aside that majesty and at great cost to himself, came down to this earth and walked with people and helped people, daily bearing people's burdens. And you read the Gospels and you see that Jesus is a Saviour who helped hundreds amounts of people. So he comes to a lady who has done some terrible things and who washes his feet, and who is scared stiff of what will happen next. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. He comes to a group of men who are on a boat about to sink because of the storm. And Jesus gets up and gives peace and says to the storm, be still. He helps them. He comes to no end of different people. Read your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And you will see that Jesus is a Saviour who daily bore people's burdens. And that is our God. And this God is willing and able to help, not just Tom and Natalie, but you and me. All of us need God's help, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what our age, no matter what our status. If you haven't known God's help or haven't thought you've needed God's help to this moment, there'll come a time when for sure you know you will need God's help. We all need God's help. That may be obvious to you. You may be set on a destructive pattern of life yourself. There might be a secret life that you yourself have. There might be some deceit that you're doing, some double life that you're living. If the statistics are true, in a group of people this size, then there will be people, other people who are addicted to pornography. And there will be others as well who are on the verge of an affair or having an affair. The statistics might not be true, but if the statistics are true, then that's going on. Who's going to deliver you from this morning? God, our Saviour, can deliver us. Likewise, it might be that you're filled with bitterness or revenge. You're like a wounded animal lying in the undergrowth, just waiting to pounce upon the person that's wounded you. And you just want to go out and hurt that person and take your own sense of justice on that person. And your life might be eaten up with anger. Who's going to deliver you from that bitterness and that anger? God, our Saviour, who daily helps us with our burdens. There's an ancient prophecy given by Isaiah that says this: God can give us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This God that's helped Tom and Natalie can help you as well. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And because of this God, he's able to forgive you, and you're able to forgive other people. How does that work? Because we all need forgiveness, whether or not we've committed 10 sins or 10,000 sins. We've all failed God, for everyone has sinned and fallen short of his standards. So how come we can be forgiven by God? How can justice be done, a price be paid, and yet forgiveness be offered? How can God forgive me for my sin? And how can God forgive you for your sin? How can he do that? Can he just wink at it as if it doesn't exist? Can he just sweep it under the carpet and say, doesn't matter? Or you've hurt lots of people, but let's just forget about it. How can God actually forgive us for our sins? Do you know, he can do so in a most amazing way, a stunning way. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, he lived for 33 years. And the evening before he died, he called his friends together and he wanted a meal with them. We call it the Last Supper. And at that supper, there was food and there was drink. And Jesus took a glass of deep red wine and he lifted it up and he said to his friends around that table, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And by that he was saying that there's going to come a time when I'm going to die, and through that death, sins are going to be forgiven. "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now at that moment, at that Last Supper, his friends around the table were so puzzled and so confused. He's going to die? He's going to shed his blood? Our sins are going to be forgiven? How does that work? How does it work that through the shedding of his blood, my sins are going to be forgiven? That's what he said, and he's never lied, but he said this. How is it going to happen? The very next day, they found out how it would happen. For that Last Supper took place on the Thursday, and on the Friday morning, Jesus was nailed to a cross. Before he was nailed to a cross, he was found guilty, though he was innocent of crime. And he was nailed to a cross with huge nails, and he was hung up there to die, with eventually a spear thrust into his side so that there was a gaping hole. He shed his blood. His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross that God can forgive us, and that we can forgive each other. Someone's explained it like this. Suppose that on your phone, everything you've ever done, said, or thought was recorded. Not just the nice things, selfies and stuff like that. Not just the nice things recorded, but everything you've ever done has been recorded. Not just the good things, but the bad things, the secret things, the things you want nobody to know about, it's all recorded on your phone. Suppose that it is. And suppose that there comes that time then when God presses the playback button and your life's going to be played back, not just to you, but to everyone on the screen. On Judgment Day, the whole of your life played back. Your thoughts, your deeds, and your words. Everything is going to be played back. And God is going to judge you for that sin. Make no mistake, the day will come when you can't cover up what you've done. It will be there for all to see. You'll be terrified. Terrified at the thought that my whole life is going to be played back for God and the whole of humanity to see everything I've ever done. How can I escape from that? Suppose there was a similar device that could record from heaven the life of Jesus. be innocence, righteousness, perfection, and purity. Total difference. Our life full of guilt and shame and sin. His life full of innocence, righteousness, and perfection. On the cross, this is what Jesus was doing. He took my life. He took my sin. He took my guilt, my shame, my sorrow. He took it all as if it was his own. And God judged him for my sin. So that justice is done, the price for sin is paid, but I'm forgiven. But that's not the end of the matter. God then gives me Jesus' innocence, purity, and righteousness. He gets the death I should have died. I get the life that he actually lived. And with those two together, the perfect life of Jesus and the sacrificial death for me, I'm forgiven. And anyone who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ is forgiven. He takes my sin, I take his righteousness. And in that, there is grace and there is forgiveness. How come Tom and Natalie have been able to reach this point this morning? They've been able to reach it because of God's help, grace and forgiveness in their life. How come they've been able to show that to one another? Again, because of God's grace, help and forgiveness in their life. But what about you this morning? Where do you stand before this almighty, just God? Do you know this morning that in your life, you also can experience grace, mercy, and forgiveness? And you can do that when you come to that crossroads that Tom and Natalie have spoken about, and you can cry out to God for forgiveness, and he will forgive you because of Jesus. And then you can know, praise be to the Lord, to God, our Saviour, who daily bears your burdens. Amen. Let's just be quiet before God before we stand to sing our final song. Maybe you want to pray with someone after this morning's service. Then there are people up the front here who are ready and willing to pray with you after we've prayed. Let's pray now to close. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've heard this morning. Continue to help Tom and Natalie in the spiritual warfare that is the Christian life. We know that the evil one is so awful that he would seek to destroy them even right after this service. So, Lord, protect them with the whole armor of God, we pray, and each one of us as well. Thank you for the grace, mercy, and forgiveness that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that because of his cross, we can experience those wonderful things. Now may we know your daily help to bear our burdens. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.